We're continuing with Makabe Patish, and the next topic that I'd like to discuss was whether or not Makabe Patish applies to Ochen, which is related to something we discussed last time. The Mishnah says in Masechah Shabbos regarding Ein Bishul Achar Bishul that whatever was cooked from before Shabbos, one is permitted to cook it again or to heat it again in a way that would not violate HaChazara Shehi on Shabbos, except for Chutz Min HaMeliach Yashan, from or Kulyas HaAspasyonis, from the salty fish. That then the Mishnah says Shehi Gmar Malachta, and that's the finishing of the salty fish, is that they would wash it off so you could eat it and wash off some of the salt. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer HaPardes that but if they eat it anyway, then it's permissible in cold water. So the Bir Halacha quotes from the Prima Gadim, this is all in Hilchas Bishul and Simin Shin Yud Ches, that if they would not have eaten, it sounds like from the Sefer HaPardes, that if they would not have eaten it in any way, meaning if it's not edible as is, one cannot wash it even in cold water. It has nothing to do with Bishul. It seems to be an issue of Makabe Patish, because that finishes off the, makes the fish edible. So Bir Halacha asks on the Prima Gadim, how can one say that there's Makabe Patish ba'ochlin? The Gemara says in Parakira that it's permissible to cook in the sun. Fry in, whatever. It's permissible to cook in the sun. So why is it permissible to cook in the sun? Bishul Bachama is mutter. Why is it a Makabe Patish? I made the item edible. So therefore the Bir Halacha says it must be that there's no Makabe Patish. But Ochlin, and he minimizes the Issur Bitzonin. He says maybe washing the fish is only with hot water, not with cold water. And it's really an issue of Bishul, it's not an issue of Makabe Patish. However, in defense of the Prima Gadim, why should it be? Why should or just the issue in general? Why should one say that there's Makabe Patish? Why should one say that there is no Makabe Patish Ba'ochen? Again, I'm sorry, I'm presenting it badly. The Prima Gadim said that there is Makabe Patish Ba'ochen, as you see from the fish with the cold water. So the Bir Halacha disagrees and he says there's no Makabe Patish Ba'ochen, as you see from Bishul Bachama. Why should there be no Makabe Patish Ba'ochen? Why should that be different than everything else? So an explanation of the sheet of the Prima Gadim, the Sefer Binyan Shabbos, which we mentioned a few times, explains that because Makabe Patish is about making a gemar, finishing off the item, or fixing the item, I'd say tikkun item. So if the item is not meant to last, it's meant to be eaten, that's not necessarily called a tikkun, because it's not going to be lasting. This comes up, the Har Tzvi has such a svar. He's really quoting the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi is discussing making seltzer on Shabbos. So he quotes the Machlokes, I think, between the Imrei Bina and the Ma'aril, whether or not one is allowed to make carbonated water on Shabbos. And the issue that they're discussing is Makabe Patish. So those who are make, the Har Tzvi explains the Mekilim, because there's no Makabe Patish by something which is going to last for a few hours. Because if you leave the seltzer open, the bubbles will go away. So since that's not going to last, that's not called a tikkun. A tikkun is something that's more permanent. So Binyan Shabbos goes out on a limb. This is a broad, yeah. He claims that's an extreme, but the Binyan Shabbos extrapolates from that svara that could be the whole reason why the Bir Halacha, that could be the underlying svara of the Bir Halacha, why there's no Makabe Patish categorically by Ochlin, because Ochlin in general not something which is meant to last. But that would be an extreme, it's only a few hours. So Binyan Shabbos goes out on a limb, and he makes a sweeping statement that perhaps all the malachos we've had, as we call, different malachos come up, some malachos apply to Ochlin, some malachos don't apply to Ochlin. So why should some malachos apply and some malachos don't apply? It could be it's because of technicalities having to do with those malachos and the Mishkan, and we've dealt with it as it came up. But the Binyan Shabbos suggests that any malacha which is about creating a chefta should apply to Ochlin. But the malachos that are about tikkun hachefta, those might not apply to Ochlin. Why? Because a tikkun on ochel is not something which is permanent. It's not meant to last. It's meant to be eaten. So he connects. So what is makom patish? Is makom patish about creating a chefter, or is makom patish about tikkun a chefter? So he links that with the machlokes between the Meiri and Rashi, which we had last time. The Rashi says that makom patish could even be about making a chefter. If there's no other malach involved, even creating an item would be makom patish. But the Meiri makes his argument that makom patish is not cover creating items. It only involves perfecting items, tikkun hachefta. So if makom patish is only about tikkun hachefta, perhaps it should not apply to ochlin, because ochlin is not meant to last, and that's not necessarily called a significant tikkun. But in defense of the sheet of the Prima Gadim held there was makom patish ba'ochen, and it's also to wash the salty fish even in cold water. So what about Bishop Bachama? Why is Bishop Bachama mutter? Why isn't that makom patish? So Minchas Chinuch explains that makom patish doesn't apply to something that completes itself. That's nigmar me'olah. It's different from other malachos, like afia, like bishul. If I cook something, so I don't do the cooking via daim. I put it in a place of heat and it gets cooked. Me'olah. Or I place the seed in the ground and the seed sprouts roots and grows. So that they all finish off themselves. They complete themselves. So that's normally chayiv on Shabbos, if that's the derech of that malacha. But makom patish, even if that's the derech, the normal process here is that it completes itself. You can't be chayv for makom patish on something that completed itself. He's basing himself on a Rashi. Rashi says, by making the chavis, by making the earthenware pot. So Rashi on daf ayin gimel mebeis ayin daladim mebeis, when he's discussing the cases of how many chatos can be chayv for one making of one item. So Rashi discusses how many chatos can be chayv for making of the chavis shel adama. So Rashi says that one of them cannot be makom patish. What makom patish? When I put it into the oven and it becomes hard from the heat. So Rashi says, why can't that be makom patish? Because it's nigmar me'olah. Because it finishes off itself. I don't finish it off via daim. So do by Bishul Bachama. I'm not doing the gemar via daim. The gemar happens by itself. The sun cooks it, and then it gets finished off. So that the gemar happens by itself. There's no makom patish. Why should there be no makom patish if it happens by itself? So Shlomo Zalman explains, because makom patish is not about the process. Other melachos are about the whole process, from beginning to end. Bishul involves putting something in the oven until it gets fully cooked, or cooked. That's the melacha of bishul, the whole thing, from A to B. From A to Z. By makom patish, it's not about the process, it's about the product. I don't think it's maisa versus totsah, but I think it's the ikar of makom patish is the gemar, is the finishing off of the item, not the process. So if I did the gemar b'yadayim, that's makom patish. If I didn't do the gemar b'yadayim, then it's a malacha that happens without a maisa. Where's the maisa by bishul? When I put it into the oven, that's the maisa. The maisa doesn't correspond to the final cooking of the item. It doesn't have to. As long as there was a maisa involved in somewhere in the process, that's called the malacha that happened by maisa, not by itself. Or if I press a button and then the whole rigmarole gets started, so then that's called the malacha by maisa, because it was a maisa at the beginning. But by makom patish, it's not enough that it's a maisa at the beginning, because the process is not part of makom patish. The whole focus of makom patish is the end. And if there was no maisa at the end, it's like a malacha that happened by itself.
Could we suggest that it's because the original context of makom patish was in the Mishkan only with the maisa, and it wasn't really a process? When they would knock the stones out or whatever it was that they were doing in the Mishkan, it was a maisa. It wasn't that they set something in motion.
Okay, but then it shouldn't be local to makom patish. It should be any melacha that they did be a daim in the Mishkan. If I do it in any other way where the maisa is not as central, Like if I press a button and a printout comes out of the computer and it's CoSave, so that also wouldn't be similar, because I didn't write it via dime.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to say that, so I think it's local to Makom Patush. Based on this svara, Rabbi Neuwirth in the Nishmas. Rabbi Neuwirth is quoted. He's the author of the Shmir Shabbos, but he's quoted in the Nishmas Avram. As saying that when one stitches a wound, so we discussed maybe it's kosher, maybe it's tofer. So one of the discussions that Rabbi Neuwirth has is, why is it a makom patush? You make the finish off the person, make him better, or his masakim mana, whatever. He's broken and now you fixed him. So why is it a makom patush? So he says, because when I stitch the wound, the story's not over. What the makom patush when the wound heals? So that, I have no hand in that. That happens by itself. So that makom patush, that happens by itself, one can't be chayav for, even though you had a hand in the beginning. Parenthetically, he also raises the issue, why isn't it bone by stitching a person who has a wound? So he says, well, that's dependent on the machlokas we had last time between Rashi and the Rambam. Is there binyan ba'adam or ain't binyan ba'adam? The Gemara says that a person who's mapis murtza v'hotzi, a person makes a hole in a person to take something out. So Rashi says that that is makom patush. No, Rashi says that that's bona, and the Rambam says that that's makom patush. Yeah, I think so. And he says, we paskin that it's makom patush. So there's no binyan. We paskin, he says, there's no binyan bottom. So it's not bona and it's not makom patush. This is known as Rashi's chiddush, Rashi by the Chavis. The Rush seems to disagree with Rashi. The Stipler points this out in a piece in Masechta Shabbos, that the Rush and Beitza seems to disagree with Rashi, because the Gemara there says, Mishnah, that Eim Elabnim Re'efim Chadoshim, a person is not allowed to heat up tiles to cook on Yontif. So the Gemara says, why? What have you done? Because when it cools down, the item will be finished off. It'll be a finishing of the item. The tiles will be harder. So the Rush says, and what's that malacha? It's makom patush. So the Stipler says, it sounds like from the Rush, even though it happens by itself, there's makom patush. So some say the Rush disagrees with this Rashi. Anything that happens by itself can be makom patush. But the Stipler says, perhaps we can distinguish, perhaps Rashi and the Rush agree, but we should distinguish between two types of makom patush. If makom patush, he says, comes after one of the other lamed ches malachos, then the whole thing is called the gemar. I don't have to say the last second is called the gemar, because it's after the malacha. Anything after the ikar malacha, after the ikar construction of the kli, is a gemar. The beginning of the Gemara and the end of the Gemara. The Kli is already built. Someone built this tile. And the Rush is of the opinion that there's Binyan Bekelim. So there was a Malacha of Bona done here. Okay? So that's the Ika Malacha. That's the Ika construction. Anything after that is the Gemara, whether it's the beginning or the end. Oh, so the Rush says, when the cooling off, I did that. I did that Biyadayim. I took off the heat and I made it cool off. Biyadayim. The Ika is not the last second. When is the Ika the end? That Rashi says there's no makom patush biyadayim when I put the chavis into the heat, because Rashi is l'shitaso that there's no binyan bekelim, so there was no malacha here. So the whole malacha of making the kli for Rashi would be makom patush. So if the whole malacha here, the whole ikar construction, is makom patush, so then what's the gemar? You can't say the whole thing is the gemar, because the item isn't finished being constructed. So the gemar is only the end. I'm chayiv only at the end. And that type of makom patush. So then, that's where Rashi says, okay, but the end happened by itself. So the Rush and Rashi are really talking about two different types of makom patush, not that they disagree about a makom patush that happens by itself. If the makom patush is an extended, protracted makom patush, if it's an extended makom patush, but it's after the ikar construction of the kli, then the whole thing could be called the gemar. And it could be chayiv from the beginning to the end. But if it's not after the ikar construction of the kli, it's part and parcel of the ikar construction of the kli, so then you can't call the whole thing makom patush, because it's being constructed. So what has become makom patush is only the last part. And if that happens me'aleha, then one cannot be chayav for ma'atu v'pantish. Another variation, I guess, an application of this Shitas Rashi, the Ma'akav HaPatish that happens by itself, because the Iker is the Gemar, and you have to do Biyadayim, has other, I guess, applications. It's a famous Magid Mishnah, which is discussing the Shitas HaRamam, that Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv. So he points out a few contradictions, seemingly contradictions within the Rambam. The Rambam says clearly, Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv. But at the same time, the Rambam says that a mechabeg achelo shamateches, a person who extinguishes a metal coal. So if his kavana is litzarev, if he intends to make the metal block, hard, so he's chayiv because of kibui. If he does not have intention litzarev, he's potter. But why, says the Magid Mishnah, melach hashen tzricha l'gufa for the Rambam is chayiv. So at best, putting out the hot metal coal, making the metal cool, which is key. Hot metal could be a fire in and of itself. If it's red hot, that's a fire. So if I take it out of the fire and make the red hot metal cool off, so that's kibui. So the Rambam says, if I need a litzar, if I'm chayiv. If not, potter. Why? So the Magid Mishnah answers that you see for the Rambam, kibui is one of those malachas where kavana plays a central role. If you don't have kavana for kibui, that's not kibui. Doesn't explain why that should be so, but this is what he says. And he says it's not the only place in the Rambam that you find that concept. The Magid Mishnah connects this with another Rambam. The Rambam says, Hamapis Morsa, Lahotzi Menalech, a person makes an opening in a person to take something out, the pus or whatever. So the Rambam says, if he's Niskav in the Peh, so then that's Bonet. So that's Makab HaPatish, because he made a hole in the person. If that's not what he has kavana for, all his kavana is to pull out the pus. So Ram says potter, and if it's makom tzar, it's mutter because lo gazu be rabbanon. But the Magid Mishnah asks, but why? It's a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. It's makom apatish vein tzricha l'gufa. Should be chayiv for the Rambam. So the Magid Mishnah answers, but you see makom apatish too. You have to have kavana plays a central role. If you don't have a kavana for makom apatish, then there's no makom apatish. Even if you held Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv. So Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi explains that he thinks that this is so, that in the Tal Harim, that Kavana plays a central role in Makab HaPatish, because it's all about the Tikkun, it's all about making the item, the Tikkun Ha. Yeah, it's about Tikkun Ha. Of the item. And if I don't have in mind for that tikkun, then there's no tikkun here. So then that makes sense. I mean, if I want to make the item better, and I could care less about that, so vis-a-vis me, it's not better. So then the nimtza that there was no malacha of Makab HaPatish. Enough for the background. So this is the, let's get into more of the practical applications of Makab HaPatish. There seem to be, just reconstructing from the different Sifim and Shulchan Aruch, there seem to be different, we'll call them, for lack of a better term, categories of Makab HaPatish. I don't think conceptually they're different categories, they're just application-wise different categories. We discussed already that a person who finishes off a kli, that's I guess more the classical case, of Makab HaPatish. A person who finishes off a kli, that's Makab HaPatish. Like a person who smooths out the stone to make it roy for building, or if we had the case also of the lul shel tarnigolim, which the air inside was stuffy, so I make a hole in the roof. So one opinion of the Gemara was that that's Makab HaPatish. Because the item is basically finished, but I'm adding a finishing touch, or the big baguette that has the string sticking out, the Asaras HaNiman. So the item is finished, but I pull out the last few things. That's Makab HaPatish. I made a few cases like that. So that's, I will call, category number one. Finishing off a completed item. What if a person makes a Kli Mechadash? The whole item. So we mentioned also that could be Makab HaPatish. The Gemara says, I'm in afer kli zechuchas. A person blows air into the way they make glass kelim is they blow air into the glass and that expands the glass. So the Gemara says that's Maka B'Patish. Or the Gemara in Beita says a person who makes a toothpick, Hakosim Kisem, is also Maka B'Patish. Even though that's not a finishing touch, that's making the whole item. So for Rashi, it makes a lot of sense, because Ein Binyan B'Kelim, Rashi holds. So anytime you have anytime you make a kli, so that's Maka B'Patish for Rashi. But we mentioned before that the Rambam also says I'm an affair klei zechuchas is makab patish, is not boner. And Evan Ozel explained why isn't it boner? So Evan Ozel says because this goes back to what boner is all about, is about attaching A to B to C. I have to have a chibur chalakim. If there's no attaching A to B to C, that's not boner. So I'm an affair klei zechuchas, I don't attach anything to anything, or kosem kisem. There's no other parts that are being added on. So that's only Maka B'Patish, that's not Bona. Even for those who hold that there is Binyan B'Kelim. So the Ika construction of a Kli can sometimes also be Maka B'Patish. For Rashi for sure, because there's no Binyan B'Kelim, so every time you build a Kli is Maka B'Patish. But even for those Rishonim who hold there is Binyan B'Kelim, if there's no Chibur Chalakim, it would also be Maka B'Patish. Parenthetically, it becomes a problem for the Meiri. The Meiri made his whole Melchamas Mitzvah that Maka B'Patish doesn't apply to the Iker construction of the item. What about Menafech Klei Zechuchis? So the Chiddush Aran there says it's talking about the second time you blow in. First time you blow in, they blow air in once to expand it, and then they blow a second time to make sure, I guess, it stays open. So the Aran says that's what it's talking about. That's the finishing touch. With the Meiri aside, making a kli can also sometimes be Maka B'Patish if it's not Binyan B'Kelim. So fixing a kli or sometimes even making a kli. So what do you mean making a kli? How far do you take that? So the Gemara says that even if a person attaches two items, he didn't make the kli, the two items were complete already, but I attached the two together and that makes the item functional. While they're separate, the item's not functional. Now that I attach the two, the item is functional. So it's also a type of asiyas hakli that could also be Maka B'Patish. Why isn't it Binyan B'Kelim? The Rambam holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, and that's how we pass in this Binyan B'Kelim. So you have to say it's only talking about when it's loose. If it's very loose, and it's meant to be loose, it's not meant to be tight. So we said when we were learning Binyan B'Kelim that that's not Binyan B'Kelim. Binyan B'Kelim is only if it's tight. Then I might come to screw it in, and that's the Melacha Midaraisa. But if it's loose, and it's meant to be loose, that's not Bona B'Kelim, but it would be Maka B'Patish. If that enables the items to be functional, that would be Maka B'Patish. Where does this come up? Because the Gemara says that a person who puts feathers into a pillow, notzen es hamuchen l'kar v'keses, or into a mattress, is chayim mishum osikli. So Gemara says that's only if it's new. If it's old, what do you mean old? It means that the feathers were in the pillow, and every time you lie down, feathers pop out. So you strip the feathers back in. So then I'm not making, the kli was made already. The feathers popped out. So that's not Maka B'Patish. If it was there already and I put it back, it's okay. It's only if I put something in anew. Shulchan Aruch brings this up by shoelaces. You can't lace shoes for the first time on Shabbos because of Maka B'Patish. It's not boneh because everything's loose, it's meant to be loose, but it's Maka B'Patish. But if it was laced and I take the laces out, I can put the laces back in on Shabbos. So the Eliyahu Rabbah there comments on the Shulchan Aruch that that's only if I put the old laces back in. If I take out old laces and put in new laces, that's Maka B'Patish. It's only if I put the old laces back in. So Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo has an interesting discussion about blowing up balloons or beach balls, things like that on Shabbos. So for the first time, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says that's Aser. That's Menafeh. It's like Menafeh Kei Zechuches. It's Maka B'Patish. Yeah, but let's say it was blown up already. Beach ball, and then you deflate it on Shabbos, and I want to blow it up again. So the Mincha Shlomo quotes from those who answered it, because that's like new shoelaces. That's not the old air, that's new air. Even though it was blown up once, So it should be a problem, Makav Patis. So Shlomo Zalman thinks, no, he says there's no difference between the old air and the new air. It's only if there's a difference. The new shoelaces look different than the old shoelaces, or they're two different items. Here, the air is all one big thing. So Shlomo Zalman says, I don't know, maybe it's a philosophical statement. So Shlomo Zalman says that he doesn't think it's a problem of Makav Patis to re-blow up the beach ball on Shabbos. Nonetheless, the Ramah does say that if the derech is, once they put the shoelaces through, they used to have this on the old loafers or bass shoes, is that they would tie a knot at the end. You didn't tie the shoelaces together, they would just tie a knot at the end of the shoelace when it came out of the hole, and that would keep the laces in place. So the Ramah says if the derech is to tie a knot and the shoelaces are through the holes, then you're not allowed to do it even if it's an old shoelace. Maybe you'll come to tie it on Shabbos. Gzeira. So the poskim say that a balloon, this might be applicable to a balloon, even though a balloon, let's say, was blown up before Shabbos, and now it's been deflated on Shabbos. If the derech of that balloon is to tie a knot in the end of the balloon, you wouldn't be allowed to re-blow the balloon on Shabbos as part of this gzeira, because it's generally tied, and you might come to tie it on Shabbos. The same way you're not allowed to re-lace shoes, even though they were laced before, if it's generally tied.
Even if the tie would be a
mutter
type of tie?
No, it's only if it's an usher type of tie, but a balloon type of tie is an usher. Right.
So what about air mattresses would be okay?
Interesting.
Air
mattresses normally run based on machine. They normally get blown up by a motor.
They have a hand pump.
Right? Should be like
this, as long as it had been
like a beach ball. Right, as long as it's been blown before, once.
Yes.
That's okay. Right. Unless it's normally blown up with a motor, and I decide not to use the motor, maybe that would be included in this. I don't know, making things up now. The Beis Yosef, though, quotes him a Tshuvas Ashkenazios. Not exactly sure what that is. That it's permissible to put a belt in, though, on Shabbos. Even for the first time, because it's not bottle there. It doesn't become part of the... Whatever, he says because it's not bottle there. So the commentary on the bottom of the Tel Harim, called the Tali Basadeh, claims that you see from here a new rule. It says, Makab Apatish L'Shah, everyone would agree is permissible. If it's only a temporary Makab Apatish, that's permissible. Why? Because the whole point of Makab HaPatish is that I made the Gemar, the finishing touch. But if it's only temporary, how can you say that's the finishing touch? It's going to be undone, and something else will be done.
What's being installed? Belt?
A belt.
On a person?
On pants, yeah.
You would think that's
Makab HaPatish. That's like shoelaces. Pants aren't functional without the belt, and belt aren't functional without the pants. Or you increase the functionality of the pants with the belt. So why is that Makab HaPatish? It's because it's not bottle there. So the Tali Basada claims, you see from here, a new rule. The Makab HaPatish L'Shah is permissible. So I don't think that that's the pshat. Shlomo Zalman, I think, would interpret that differently. That's called shimush. That's called using the item. That's not bono, like a person opens or closes the door, or a kli that's meant to go be put together and taken apart. We mentioned in the past that's not bono. It's using the kli. It's using the door. I don't mean to be sosa the wall and build the wall when I open and close the door. So to here, it's called using. I'm not putting the item together back and forth. It's using the belt, using the pants. That's what it means, that it's not bought to their shoes. Don't necessarily necessitate by their usage that I unlace them and relace them every time I would tie shoes. But here, that's part of wearing pants with a belt, is that you take the belt out when you're done with the pants. Therefore, anytime I put two items together, and that's called using the item, that would not be Makab HaPatish either. Rav Shlomo Zalman brings this up in the tshuva in the back of the Nishmas Avram, which we mentioned when we were learning Binyan Bekelim about putting a plunger together with a needle to give an injection. So we quoted Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak is Mekel. To do that, it's not like this. If it's used many times, I give an injection, take it apart, clean it, reattach it, give an injection, take it apart, clean it. So that's called using the item. So he said, but if the item is disposable, I'm only going to do it once. You can't call that using the item, because I'm going to throw it out when I'm done. So it's only meant to be put together once. Who said I'm going to take it apart, put it together, take it apart, put it together? So Dain Weiss said, no, but it's binyan l'shah kala. Binyan l'shah, he claimed, even those who are machmer, binyan l'shah, if I plan to undo it, I'm going to throw it out, that's like, which he equates with undoing it, right after I'm done, so that's so temporal, that's not binyan. Which is interesting, svar. Rosh Shlomo Zalman claims that he says he has no mucker for this svar, but he suggests that if I attach it so close to the usage, it's meant to be attached right before I use it, so he claims that's already called using it. Even if it's a one-time thing, that's already called giving the injection when I attach the two. That's not called attaching the two to give the injection. That's called giving the injection. The injection begins when I attach the needle to the plunger. That's called shimush too, even though it's only a one-time item, which is a chiddush, that should be called shimush even because it's one time. So he asks, how could I say that? But the Gemara says, hakosem kisem, a person makes a toothpick, is only, hopefully, only used at one time. So Shlomo Zalman says, wow, but that's also a disposable item, which you make right before you use it. So why is that different than my syringe? So he says, perhaps over there is worse, because I made a shinoi in the gufa of the item. I chiseled it down to make it usable. So you can't say that's called using the item. I'm still working to finish it off. Here, I'm just attaching A to B. That could be already called the beginning of the injection. That could be called using the item. Anyway, Tashmish usage also has its place in Makar B'Patash, not only in Bona. That if something is used, you see from the Tshuvas Ashkenazios, that it's putting a belt in pants, it's called using the item. It's not called Makar B'Patash. It's not called, you know, finishing off the item or completing the item or making the item usable. That's called using. It's called Tashmish, using the item. That's not Makar B'Patash. So just to keep things clear, again, we had finishing off an item could sometimes be Makar B'Patash. Making the item could be Makar B'Patash. Or attaching A to B to make the item usable, which is like making an item, could be Makar B'Patash. What if I have an item which was functional, connected, and it became broken? Tikkun Mona. That could also be Makar B'Patash. The Gemara says in Maseches Beitza that a knife that became dull, to resharpen the knife would be Makar B'Patash Midoraisa. Or if you have a what do they call this? What are shish kebabs made on? You
know, silver.
You're right. Which became bent. They can no longer use to make that straight. That would also be Makar B'Patash. So the Rishonim explained at the beginning of Perek HaBonah, the Ramban in the Round, that's only if it's totally unusable as is. The knife is unusable. It's just so dull that you can't use it for anything. But if it's somewhat usable, I just increased its functionality. So that's Tikkun Manu Midrabanan. Tikkun Manu Midaraisa is if it's totally unusable and I make it usable. If it's somewhat unusable, its usage is limited, and I increase the range of its usage, that's Misakan Mana Midrabanan. So based on this, Shlomo Zalman said an interesting chiddush, which is more relevant for Kosev, but he discusses typing on computers and saving things on disks. So he says if one saves something on a disk, if the disk was blank, it's Misakan Mana Midaraisa. Because now I made a piece of plastic into a very functional item. And if a disk is, it has stuff on it, I have a few files on it, I add files, that's Misakan Mana Midrabanan. Because it was somewhat functional. Now I've expanded its functionality to have more tricks in its bag, so that's the Rabanan. Yeah.
I don't understand, you don't expand its functionality by saving something on it before it was something you could...
Before I had this circle piece of plastic that's a garnish.
You could save stuff on.
But it has, right now it does no tricks. I can't do anything with it.
You can't access any data with it?
It has nothing on it. Now I put a file on. Ooh, now this disk has one trick in its bag. So before it had zero, now it is one. It's Masakam Manami Dharaisa. Now if I add 100 files, as 100, it could do 100 tricks. Certain perspective. Yeah. However, there's a limitation on Masakam Manami Dharaisa that this doesn't apply to. But Masakam Manami Dharabanan, there's a limitation on that. That if fixing the item is without any tircha, it's very easy to do. So that's not called misakin mana. Because Ramah, which we discussed about putting in shoelaces, and the Ramah says, but if the derech is to tie it, so then it's asur midrabanan. So the Ramah there also adds that if it's difficult to put it in, then you can't put in shoelaces either. So the Mefarshim explain, the Taz and the Shulchan Aruch Rav explain for the Ramah that if it's difficult to put it in, then putting in shoelaces is misakin mana. How come relacing a shoe isn't misakin mana? We discussed that it's making the item. Okay, we said maybe it's not making the item if it was there already, and I don't plan on tying it. It's not making the item, but it's misakin. It's broken now. The shoelaces aren't in the shoe. Why isn't it misakin mana? So for that, the Ramah added because it's Bli Torah. It's easy to do. Or it's not a sophisticated action. So then that's not misak. There's no iser misakim manu mid rabbanon if it's easy to do. The Magen Avraham also is discussing a disc is easy to do. Is he going to say? The Magen Avraham is also discussing the tables where a leg fell out from underneath the table. So assuming putting back the leg is not normally screwed in. If the leg is normally screwed in, so we discussed putting something back loosely. If it's normally screwed in, that might be bona bekelim. But assuming it always remains loose, I never attach it firmly. So it's not binyan b'keilim. Why isn't it a misakin mana? I'm fixing the table. So Magen Avraham says, because that's something that's so easy to do. It's not a sophisticated action at all. So then there's no misakin mana midrabanan over there. So therefore, the Shemir Shabbos Kochaz has a bunch of applications. Let's say my hat becomes crushed. Someone sits on my hat. So I fix my hat. I punch it out again. Oh, Misakin Manu Midrabanan before it was broken. Now it's fixed. So then the Shemir Shabbos says, no, that's easy. Or if you have glass frame, metal frames of glasses, sometimes, let's say someone, puts their hand, stomps on them or something. So can you reshape them a little bit? So again, Shemir Shabbos says, that's easy to do. It's not a sophisticated act. If it, you need pliers and the whole story. So that's sophisticated, but if it's not a sophisticated thing, or he discusses a woman combing her sheitel, misakin mana, her own hair, there's no misakin mana. But why? How can she comb her sheitel? Isn't that misakin mana? So he says no, because it's easy. Combing the sheitel is not a sophisticated item.
About putting sheets on a bed. You say that.
You'd have the usage svara, I think. But yeah. So also this the Binyan Shabbos discusses. Yeah.
What? If you put sheets on a bed, forget the usage of aspect.
It was functional before. Yeah. I don't think you made it more functional. Oh, whatever.
You mean that every time you unfold your sweater, you're making it steep in mana? Now you make it more functional?
No. The Binyan Shabbos discusses what if a lens pops out of glasses on Shabbos. So he says if it snaps back in easily, even though I'm increasing the functionality, now I can see out of both eyes as opposed to only one. Tikkun mana midrabanan. So he says, no, but it happens so easily, so that's, if it snaps in easily. He says, if you it's complicated to snap it in, so then that would be misakin mana. But if it happens easily, that wouldn't be an issue. If there's a screw, though, we mentioned, if it's because the screw came loose, and then putting it back in would be a problem because I might come to tighten the screw. It would only be applicable to plastic lenses, which have no screws. I mean, one time Rav Khan was here for Shabbos, and he was speaking at the Friday night Tish, and his lens popped out of his glasses. So he left his glasses in Reuben Shul the whole rest of Shabbos. He didn't wear glasses, because it must have been metal frames. I think they were metal frames. Because of this halacha, that maybe the screw came loose, and you're afraid you're going to tighten the screw, so then that's a problem. But what's called broken? Can we define our terms a little bit better? What do we say? So if an item is broken, so if it's totally non-functional, it's misakim mana midrabanan. So let's say it's somewhat functional, it's misakim mana midrabanan, unless it's easily accomplished. Or regularly happens, because then that's called... We'll get back to that in a second. What's called broken? Yeah, what's called broken? So something which is surface. Let's say I have a coat which gets thorns stuck in it. So the coat's not called broken. When I take off the thorns, that's not called misakin mana. Why? Now it's I could wear it without getting pricked. So why isn't that misakin mana? Because that's something that's on the surface. If the item's not broken, just there's a problem with it. Let's say there's tape on my knife. That's not called a dull knife. It's not misakin mana to remove the tape. So it has to be in the item. But still, what's called misakin mana? So the panim me'iros, the discussion comes up by winding watches. In the days when watches didn't have batteries. So the panim me'iros was discussing, can you wind your watch on Shabbos? They were discussing a watch that already stopped. So he says, yes, of course you can. That's not a broken watch. Everybody knows, time to time, you have to wind the watch. It's normal usage. And the Chayyadim disagreed, and he said, once it stopped, it's broken. Now you want, or somewhat broken. Now when I wind the watch, it's Misakin Mana. So in defense of the Panim Me'iros, Rav Avadia Yosef goes to Tiferes Yisrael, who also sided with the Panim Me'iros, that I don't need an Uman to fix it. How can you call it broken? We all know, from time to time, you have to wind it. But nonetheless, the Chayyadim felt that since it, right now it's not running, that's called broken. So Minchas Shmuel, Minchas Shlomo, I'm sorry, Shlomo Zalman Arbach explains the Svar of the Machmirim a little bit more. And he explains why isn't, he's again the big fan of usage. So why over here isn't this using the item? We all know that that's something that you have to do from time to time. So he says, he thinks that it goes to the heart of what a watch is used for. A watch is not used to sometimes work and sometimes be on and sometimes be off. A watch is used to always be on. So then, the watch isn't working, that's broken. But let's say, he says, let's say I have a swing, a baby swing, which has a crank, you wind it up. So a baby swing isn't meant to be running the whole Shabbos long. Nobody wants that. If it's always running, then that's broken. It's meant to be running when I want it to run and not run when I don't want it to run. So he says that he thinks even the machmirim by the watch would be mako by the baby swing. Because there, everyone would agree that's tashmish. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. So then winding it up, everyone would agree would not be misakin mana. The time is for the Chazon Ish, that he says this works for me, that he held electricity was also shimush. Sometimes a fan is meant to be on, sometimes a fan is meant to be off. So Shlomo Zalman held be'etzim electricity should have been called using the item, not fixing a broken item. He says the Chazon Ish felt that electricity, a fan is always meant to be on. Why do I turn it off because of my electric bill? That's a different concern. That's not because the item needs to be off. I want it off. That's your problem. The item really is, be'etzim, the item could be running all the time. So Chazon Ish considered when a fan is off, that's not called using, that's called broken. When I fix it, I'm remaking the item. So he says for the Chazon Ish, who's machmir by electricity, should be machmir here too, even by the baby swing. Even though there's no electric current here, because electricity is not really about the electric current, it's about that I made the item a usable item. So Shlomo Zalman says for the Chazon Ish, who said that electricity was a problem of bona here, also should be a problem of bona. Even though it's not meant to be, running all the time like a watch, it would still be an issue of bona. So local mice, there are those who are machmir on the winding baby swings. I think Rabbi Sabalowski said, I haven't checked with him in a long time, but I think he said that he, but some of the from people dafka by the winding baby swings, because on Shabbos, you can't use a battery operated one. So they always search, you know, the baby stores for the winding ones, which nobody sells anymore because they're prehistoric. So Sawevsky would dafka buy the battery-operated ones, and he'd put in batteries and would run the whole Shabbos and leave it like that. Because the winding ones, he was choshesh that that's a problem of misakin mana. But I heard this 10 years ago. I haven't checked back with him. The Marsham, yeah.
Not be, it's not fair, but it's okay to wind up.
Right. But Chazon Ish would disagree. We're generally machmir for Chazon Ish, but electricity we're machmir for Chazon Ish. If you link it to the electricity svara and lechachila, we're machmir, you know, at least in the Rabbanan, we're machmir for the svara of Chazon Ish by electricity. Maybe we should be machmir here too. But many were makel on this. The Marasham, in his commentary, the Das Torah and Shulchan Aruch, said that this whole discussion about winding the watch is only if it has already stopped. If it's continuing to go, and I know it's going to, you know, I'd say I have to wind it every 20 hours, and then 24 hours. So I wind it every 12 hours, and I'll never come into a problem on Shabbos. So Marasham says that's a good Eitzah. Because how can you call it Masakin Man? It's not broken, it's still going. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that, and he disagrees. And he says, making a kli better doesn't, misakim mana doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be broken. Chizuk ha-kli, strengthening the kli, can also sometimes be called misakim mana. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to cook. I think in a metal kli, that when I take it out, will become hard. Even though the kli as it was functional, if it'll become harder, and that will make the kli stronger. If it's already a strong kli, it's titanium or whatever, so then I don't think it makes it any stronger. But if it's something which gets stronger by being heated and then cooled off, so that's also a problem, the Gemara says, of Masakin Mana. So Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions in Hilchos Bishul, whether that's the Oraisa, whether that's the Rabbanon, Chizuk HaKli. But it says in the Gemara, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Bishul, that to heat a kli, so that when it cools, it's stronger, would be a problem of Misakin Mana. So those who are machmir not to wind the watch would even be machmir that the Marsham claims it wouldn't be a problem, because that's just preventing kilkul, it's not making the string any stronger. And the Mishnah Berurah claims that's called making the kli stronger. Based on this sister, making the kli stronger along those lines, the Shmir Shabbos says, for example, one is not allowed to say spray. Let's say a woman makes up her sheito on Shabbos. She fixed the sheito because we said that's something easy. That's not misakin mana. And then she wants to spray it with hairspray, so it remains in place. So that's not fixing the item, but it's chizuk hakli. So Shmir Shabbos says you're not allowed to do that. Or, let's say a person's shoe, guy steps on his shoes on Shabbos, and the shoe gets dented. So he puts it in the shoe tree to make the shoe look a little bit better. That's a relatively easy thing to do. So it's not Misakin Mana Midrabanan, okay, but it's very easy. That's not Misakin Mana. It's like straightening out the bent glasses. Those are not Misakin Mana. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchaza says, no, but this is Chizuk HaKli. It makes the kli stronger. So maybe that would be that issue of Misakin Manas. And if that's Doraisa, I don't know. But the one, I don't know. Well, I don't know. He says that by the shoe tree, it's usher if it's making the kli better. But I'm not sure why. It's easy. When you straighten out the metal glasses, it also makes it better. I don't know.
So we machmir like this?
Yeah. It's a shifin shulchan aruch. What's a question is what the Marasham says, winding the watch. Maybe that's not called chizuk hakli. I'm preventing it from stopping. I'm not making it a stronger watch.
The question is, what's called Chizuk HaKli?
Mishnah Berurah claims winding the watch is like Chizuk HaKli. And then the Marasham was aware of the Sifrin Shulchan Aruch. He must have felt that that's not the same as Chizuk HaKli. Making it stronger. I'm just keeping status quo. Nothing became stronger. Maintaining status quo. Another application the Shmir Shabbos has is putting oil, you know, WD-40, let's say. W-40. What is it called? WD? On the on a hinge of a door, so it doesn't squeak. So that's also chizuk hakli. It makes the kli a little bit better. I don't know. Anyway, so we had a discussion about winding watches. That is that called regular maintenance? Is that called usage of the kli? So Shlomo Zalman felt a watch not, because sometimes it's meant to be off, sometimes it's always meant to be on. But an item like a swing, which is sometimes meant to be off, sometimes meant to be on, that's not called Misakin Mana. So it seems to be the principle is, and the Chazon Ish disagreed because he said everything is really supposed to be on. But everyone would agree that a regular maintenance of an item should not be called Misakin Mana. That's called using the item. Every time you use the item, there's regular maintenance which gets involved in using the item. So Chazon Ish just felt having a fan off is not called regular maintenance. That's because of my electric bill. But if it involves regular maintenance, that shouldn't be a problem with Masakin Mana. So the Das Torah, again, the Marsham is quoted by Shmir Shabbos, is when they discuss fixing the time. You know, every once in a while, you have to fix the time in a watch to make sure that the watch has the right time. So is that called using the watch, or is that called Masakin Mana? So they claim that's called Masakin Mana. That's part of the regular uses of a watch. Regular maintenance involves that once in a while, you have to switch the time. But the Magen Avraham discusses papers that become glued together by accident. I'm eating cholent or something, it was a sefer, and you know, I close the book, and then the two pages become stuck together. So the Magen Avraham says, if the pages were never separated from the time it was created and made, that's Masakin Mana, because I'm finishing off the book. Okay? But let's say it was already created, and now the cholent gets stuck there. So it's broken, Masakin Mana. So the Magen Avraham says, no, that's part of the usage of the item. Once in a while, pages get stuck. Or a person has a plastic cup. Who says this? Again, I think it's Shmir Shabbos. So this talks about a plastic cup that gets crushed. So I straighten out the plastic cup. That's using a cup. Sometimes it gets dented and you undent the cup. Anything which could be considered regular usage of the item would not be considered to be makel patash. Okay, there's one more category of makel patash, which is making a hole and making an opening in a container, which might be another. Again, I don't think it's a conceptually different. Another categories, quote unquote, of makel patash. We'll discuss that in a minute. Next time, and next time I wanted to just since we're going to finish makel patash, to review opening containers, bags, the whole story with opening kelim on Shabbos to get food out. That whole shayla will have one. Finishing off, we'll bring up all the issues that came up along the way, just so we're all clear on what the maskana is.